Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our gospel begins in the beginning. Those words ring in our ears. Where have we heard them before? It's right on the tip of my tongue. Oh, that's right. Those are the same words which Moses uses in the beginning of Genesis. Now, that's no mere coincidence, because John wants us to know that in the beginning, even before God created the heavens and the earth, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, just to be perfectly clear, John repeats himself. He, that's the Word, who is himself God, was in the beginning with God. This is the same Word in which we just confessed was the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And through this Word, John tells us all things were made through him. And without him was nothing made that was made. He commanded, and the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is within them was created. The plants, the animals, the angels, and at the pinnacle of his creation is man. Paul tells us in Colossians, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." He created all things. He commanded it, and it was done. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. But then, there in the Garden of Eden, God's creation rebelled and everything went terribly wrong. The serpent tempted Adam and Eve, and they ate of the fruit of the tree in which God had told them, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And sin and darkness entered the world, and death gripped God's perfect creation. And from that time until now, until Final Judgment Day, we struggle with this sin. Creation groans, nations war against each other. With pain and sweat, we eat our bread each day. And surely the pains of childbirth have been multiplied. We were brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. And the old Adam in us wants us to fall back into that darkness. Our loved ones die or fall into that darkness of unbelief, and one day we ourselves will die. What can we do? But the word of God did not stay silent. Because of the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior, he couldn't just leave us in darkness and death. And even from that very day that Adam and Eve fell into sin, God promised a Messiah would come. One that would crush the head of that terrible lying serpent and save his people from their sin. God spoke his word of law through Moses, which pointed out our need for a Savior. But God spoke his promise to Abraham that one day he would send a Savior, the Messiah. Then God spoke his promise over and over to his people throughout the Old Testament through his prophets, such as Isaiah, who said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And again, he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." All the way down through the ages, God promised a Savior. Right down to John the Baptizer, who our gospel says came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path," was here. For God did not forget his promise he made through his prophets, but has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Therefore, our gospel tells us, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So it was that the Word became flesh, and unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. That same Word who was with God, who was God, through whom all things were made, whose creation rebelled, who was promised down through the ages, of whom John testified, he is that baby lying in the manger. He is the Son of God, the Christ child, the ones the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, whom the multitude of the heavenly host praise God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." He is the one the wise men sought from afar, who the faithful look forward to throughout all Advent. He is the reason we celebrate the Christ Mass. This Word made flesh, lying there in the manger, would soon enough take on the sins of the whole world upon himself. As we profess, for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. That's why he came. That's his purpose. Paul tells Titus, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy. God's loving kindness sent his Son, the Word, into the world that he would be our Savior. We couldn't save ourselves from sin and death. We couldn't even keep God's perfect law. But the Word made flesh, the incarnate Son of God, could keep God's law perfectly and make perfect sacrifice on our behalf. Because he was like us in every way, flesh and bone, a mind, a will, emotions, he could fulfill the law for us and rescue us from sin and death. But John tells us in our gospel, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus was despised and rejected by the very ones God had promised him to. Although God had foretold the Christ child down through the ages through his prophets, they did not expect such a lowly Savior. Oh yes, they heard the prophet Micah say, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And also Isaiah said, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Oh yes, they heard all of that down through the ages, but they did not receive their Messiah when he came, because they didn't believe these words and promises of God. Instead, they rejected his teachings. They tried to catch him in lies. They lied about him. They mocked him. They spit on him. They beat him. They nailed him to a cross. The light which gives light to everyone had come into the world. And the people who had waited for his coming for so long hanged him on a cross. And that's where he died. But that's why he came. That was his purpose. Right there on the cross, God kept his promise. On that cross, the devil, yes, bruised the heel of the Son of God, the Word become flesh, the seed of Eve. But through his death and resurrection, Christ crushed the head of that terrible lying serpent. Christ fulfilled God's law perfectly and saved us from sin, death, and the devil. So our gospel goes on and says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." But some may ask, how do we receive him? John says right here, by faith. Remember what our catechism says about the third article of the creed. "I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him." But how do we have faith then? The Catechism goes on. The Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Our epistle lesson also sheds some light on this issue. It says, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Through our baptism, God gives us his Holy Spirit, forgives our sins, rescues us from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Through our baptism, the Holy Spirit gave you new life. And he gave you faith to receive Jesus. Notice what our gospel says. We are not born of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. You can't choose to be a child of God. You can't simply make a decision to follow Jesus. Only by the will of God are you able to become children of God. Only through faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. The final verse of our gospel notes, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace. This grace and truth, full of grace and truth, this grace and truth, is why God kept his promise made to Adam and Eve, as well as his promise he made through the prophets down through the ages. It's why the Word became flesh and was born a virgin and dwelt among us and died on the cross for us. That is where we saw God's true glory. For this, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, is worthy of all thanks and praise, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.